It's 40 years since Henry Williamson's novel Tarka the Otter was adapted into a film. The author rejected two offers from Walt Disney and went instead with the noted English wildlife documentary filmmaker David Cobham. It tells the story of an otter living in the North Devon English countryside, charting its life through youth, maturity, and the frequent hostile encounters with its arch-enemy, the local hunt. The film is beautiful and moving, and the otters themselves turn out to be natural stars. Williamson's writing is characterised by a lack of sentimentality about the animals it describes, and the film inevitably features some distressing scenes. The book, Tarka the Otter, has never been out of print since first publication in 1928, and the movie, which was narrated by Peter Ustinov, was voted the 98th greatest family film in a Channel 4 poll. So it must be good.
Henry Williamson's world-famous novel, Tarka the Otter, is a hauntingly beautiful, sometimes savage story about the joyful water life of an otter, one of the most secretive yet lovable of God's creatures. Now, this true-to-life adventure comes to the screen with a cast of irrepressible wild beings and some human beings, too. The camera's eye puts you right into the intimate world of Tarka and his friends, which is full of surprises. Because unlike tame human actors, they stubbornly refuse to follow scripts. Tarka the Otter, a unique experience that will delight the entire family.
At the time the book was published, otters were generally regarded as vermin, but Tarka is credited with transforming public attitude to otters. The Irish Wildlife Trust have been conducting a survey on otters within the city limits of Galway. Over the course of 2 years, a number of volunteers with the group have gone out every weekend searching for otter sprains, or otter droppings, if you prefer, along the city's waterways. They've also recruited members of the public to participate and raise awareness of the natural environment that exists within the city. Wildlife cameraman Donald Glacken joined them for Mooney Goes Wild.
We're just on the River Carb, along the Long Walk.
My name is Donald Glacken, and that was my former housemate and good friend, Lenny Antonelli. Lenny and a number of volunteers with the Galway branch of the Irish Wildlife Trust have found a rather unusual activity to occupy their weekends with.
Just going down along the Long Walk to check out a set of steps on the quay, which has always been a good spot for finding otter sprint. And look, there's one there, right already.
It looks pretty fresh as well.
And if you kind of, like, if you look in it, you can usually see tiny bones and bits of shells from, I guess, different kinds of crustaceans and shellfish that they'd be eating.
Those of us in the Galway branch of the Irish Wildlife Trust, you know, we're starting to hear more reports of otters in the city. At the time, we also went down to Waterford to do an otter survey training course, and off the back of that we decided that it would be a good idea to do an otter survey of otters in Galway City to get a sense of where they were occurring in Galway City and how widespread they were. There was kind of a citizen science element to the project in that we wanted, number one, for the survey to kind of make some noise about it and make the public aware that it was going on and make them aware that there are otters in the city, and also to get people who are interested in wildlife and nature involved and give them a couple of practical skills for finding signs of otter activity, for identifying otter sprint, for doing some survey work, and to get involved in kind of studying wildlife in their area.
They're fairly regular when they do. It's like they're annoyed that we're removing it, so they come back and, like, do it in the same spot.
Grace Kilbane was originally a volunteer with the Otter Survey, but has since gone on to take a more active role with the Galway branch of the Irish Wildlife Trust.
Before, when I started, I wasn't a member of IWT, and now I'm on the committee 2 years now, just through doing that, because I found it so interesting and I wanted to get involved more and try and make more people aware of what's sort of on their front doorstep, I suppose.
Could you pass me a tube there, Grace?
Sure. Here you go.
Gotta try
and they are being very territorial, and it get and they're in like a fast flowing river and things that actually poo like under stones so that it doesn't wash away. So like when people are out looking for them, like they in, you have to know the area that you're in. So like people will look under stones and things to try and get to get it because they are trying to mark it. Yeah.
Were you surprised by how many, how much sprains you found or how much activity you encountered?
Yes and no. At first, when we didn't really know where to look, we were doing lots of surveys and not finding anything, and people were coming along, and I think maybe being a bit frustrated that we'd spent, you know, an hour and a half walking along looking at nothing. But after a while, we started to kind of figure out the kind of sites that otters were more likely to use in the city, like the kind of steps leading up and down to water bodies, like under bridges. And once we kind of became aware of that, we were able to find sprained much more easily and find their kind of active areas much more easily. And then I suppose that was when we started to find lots of sprains every week.
It's funny when you're walking around and you see lots of people sitting on the steps and things, you're like, they definitely don't know that they're probably sitting on otter sprain right now.
And what did you do with the sprains once you collected them and had them in the test tubes?
Once I had the sprains collected, I had a freezer, a special freezer in my kitchen that was dedicated just to holding otter sprains, and would bring the sprains back there and store them there. So yeah, it was just a big freezer beside my fridge, purely for otter sprains. It got a few funny looks at parties when people went to look for a beer or something like that, you know. Colin Lawton is a zoology lecturer in Ainhoa, Galway. He's an expert in mammals and we've done lots of work on otters over the years. And he had one of his fourth year students, a woman by the name of Deirdre Clancy, do a project on the diet of otters in the city. So she was the main researcher who we gave the sprains to, who was studying them. And it's a tough project in a way, because you need to, you're basically identifying you know, every fragment of bone and shell or whatever you find in the sprain and trying to figure out what animal it's come from so that you can, you know, figure out what this particular otter has eaten.
My name is Deirdre Clancy and I studied for a degree in marine science in NUIG, and the title of my thesis was a study of the diet of the Eurasian otter, Lutra lutra, in the waterways of Galway City. Irish Wildlife Trust were doing a survey, so just worked in my favour, really.
Yeah,
they had collected all the sprains. They were collecting for about 18 months and they had a total of 83 sprains, which was quite good. So meant I could just get straight into the lab and start to work on the cleaning the sprains and stuff.
So once you got the sprains and you had them in the lab, what was involved?
So they all had to be cleaned. And to clean them, I had to soak them in a solution of denture cleaner and water, which broke down all the mucus matrix from around them and just left the hard and digestible bits behind. And they all had to be dried then overnight, and I stored them in petri dishes and labelled them until I was ready to look at them under the microscope. So then I separated all the hard parts and identified them using keys, and so mostly it was fish bones and scales, feathers, teeth, and sometimes fur from mammals and stuff.
And would it be quite a long process to do that? Would you be able to do them in one batch, or would you have to deal with one sprain at a time?
Sprain at a time. It took ages. There was hundreds of bones in each sample and they were tiny, like tiny. You couldn't identify them with the naked eye. You had to use a microscope even to see a lot of them, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, you know, if they ate specifically one thing, or if they would just, like, if they're known to be opportunistic, meaning they'd eat absolutely anything. But in fact, there was eel in 80% of the sprains I tested. And that in itself is an important thing, because eels are so threatened and endangered now. So it could have a big impact on the otters in the future. There was plastic found in over a quarter of the springs. The canals and rivers in Galway are very polluted anyway with plastic. The plastic was probably in the fish, and then the otters ate the fish.
The project is pretty much finished now in terms of surveying. Surveying finished last year, and Deirdre has finished her project as well. So I guess we're just kind of finishing things up and gonna kind of launch the project soon, and try and use it to make people aware again of the presence of otters in the city. And like, besides the actual results of the survey and the dietary study and all that, I would hope that if we get a bit of publicity for it, that making people more aware of otters in the city and of the parts of the city that they use would hopefully be something that's kept in mind in any future development or construction projects in the city, that hopefully we now have some solid kind of information that otters use lots of areas of the city, and because they're a protected species, that would need to be taken into account in any future development.
Thank you, Donal.